For those of you who have, well, I don't know what the age range is exactly, but St. Stephen's summer camp began last week, and I was down there last week. And it's a very good program, and there's three more weeks going. And Soren, who was there, cannot answer this question because he was in my class, and he should know the answer. I'm sure he does. The topic for the St. Stephen's camp is the Ten Commandments. So we spent the whole week discussing them. Now, there are Ten Commandments in Exodus, and they're repeated again in Leviticus or Deuteronomy. I can never remember which. But do you know that the Jews, being the studious people that they are, went through the entire Old Testament and counted up all of the commandments? There's considerably more than 10. A lot more than 10. Would anybody like to hazard a guess? 20? 100? 500? 613. Oh my goodness. 613. We can't even remember the 10, much less observe 613, right? No wonder they couldn't meet all the rules. No wonder it took the divine Son of God to come to earth and to satisfy them. And remember, Christ says in the Gospels, He didn't come to abolish the law, He came to fulfill it. And not one dot or iota would be removed from it. So they're still there. And guess what? We still can't meet them, right? But that's just my point, the 613. What I wanted to go over quickly today, and I congratulate you for coming on this July 4th weekend. I know there were probably many other requests and invitations for your time. But the Ten Commandments. The first one is, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall have no other gods before me. That sounds easy. We don't necessarily make little carved wooden figurines today and bow down and worship them like they did perhaps in biblical times. But it's very easy to have other gods. And I'm going to talk about that when I talk about this second commandment. You shall not make for yourself any carved image. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. He describes himself as jealous, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. Things we can make idols, things we can make gods and worship before the one Lord our God are things like health. Health is not an idol. Health is something God gives us, or perhaps He takes it away. We should not make an idol of health. We should not make an idol of family. We should not make an idol of security. We should not make an idol of children. These things are all blessings, and they're all very good and very important, but they do not become before our faith in God. Nothing comes before our faith in God, not ideas. We are very prone in this society to let ideas get in front of God. Ideas like nation, ideas like any ideology you want to name from all spectrums of the political spectrum. People put these things ahead of God, and when the tension comes, they don't choose God, they choose the ideology. That's a false idol, and we are told not to do that. God is a jealous God. Do you know that God and Satan both desire us? They desire us fervently. They both want us very, very much. And they will both do practically anything to get us. Now, they have very different reasons for wanting us. God wants us to be in communion with Him, in love and blessing. Satan wants to consume us. Satan is a parasite. He wants to live off of us, to use us up and discard us. But he wants us nonetheless. God is a jealous God. Now, it may seem unfair to visit the iniquity of the parents on the children to the third and fourth generations. But God's not actually doing that. We do that to our own children. How many of you have family members or friends who have a dysfunctional way of life? Maybe they drink too much. Maybe they hit their spouse. Have you ever noticed how these things tend to flow down through the generations? Someone grows up in that atmosphere and they think it's normal. They think that's just what you do. And so then when they become an adult, guess what? That's what they do. It passes down because the children see it. They think that's what they're supposed to do, and they do it. It sometimes takes the child of a dysfunctional parent to marry someone, and the spouse helps them break that cycle by helping them to step back and say, wait a minute, you're doing this because your mom and dad did it. Is that really what you should do? Is that really the way you want to live? You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Wow. This is one reason I don't let myself watch sports any more than I do. I'll be honest. It's 3rd and 10. There's a holding penalty on the offensive line. Loss of down. Back him up 10 yards. Bad words tend to come out of my mouth. I don't like that. And it's a game. It's entertainment. Why? But boy, I get into it. I'm as competitive as the next guy. It's hard for me to control my mouth. So rather than control my mouth, I take the easy way out. And I just don't watch the football anymore, really that much. But it comes out in other ways too, right? How many of you have been shopping and you find a great deal? Oh my, really? You're going to use our Lord's name for a blouse that you got on a great sale? Really? Think about it. Think about it. We're very casual with the name of our Lord. We're very casual with the name of Jesus Christ. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and rested. The Lord rested. Was he tired? No. He did that for our benefit. He did that as an example for us. He rested. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. What does hallowed mean? That's a word we don't use anymore. It means special. He reserved it. He kept it distinct. He kept it over here and didn't use it. There is a value to seemingly non-productive time. That's where the creative juices can flow. That's where the Holy Spirit has room to work. If we settle our hearts and minds, maybe we go for a walk with our husband or wife or our children, we give the Holy Spirit more room to work in our hearts. It's good to have downtime. It's very good. Don't listen to the world when it says you've got to go, go, go 24/7. No. The example is, the commandment is, take some time off. Now, the first 5 commandments are all about God, either directly or indirectly. The first 4 specifically, no other gods, no idols, honor the name of the Lord, honor the Sabbath. Now, the 5th about the parents. Parents, you realize that our children look to us intuitively as models of God. Now, that's not fair, maybe, and we're weak and we are sinful, but they do. And so the first 5 are about God. The second 5 are about our relations with other people. Oh, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. This is actually number 5, and it's the only one of the commandments that has a blessing attached to it, right? Don't make an image for yourself, because God will visit the iniquities to the 3rd and 4th generation. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for he will not hold him guiltless, right? Punishments, negative consequences. But when it comes to your parents, honor your mom and dad so that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God has given you. If you honor your parents, they're doing the best they can. Young folks, they're doing the best that they can. One day, God willing, you will be in their shoes. You will have a job. You will have husbands. You will have children. You will have mortgages. You will have stress and fatigue, and you will understand that it's not so easy to be an adult, even though it seems like there's a lot of goodies there. The second five, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, and you shall not covet anything of your neighbor's. These things are fairly straightforward, but do you realize in the gospel, Jesus expanded the standard greatly. He said to the men, if you even look at a woman with lust in your eyes, you've committed adultery. Don't be angry at your brother, because anger taken to its logical end is murder. Don't even let it get started. Don't even let it get started. We must be careful. Christ tells us, be angry, but sin not. Murder, lying, adultery. We must be very careful. Do not be envious. Be satisfied with what we have. And if you need or want something else, pray to God, work hard, and wait. And wait. Patience is a virtue. These Ten Commandments are very simple. They're very straightforward, but they're not easy. And we would do well to remember them. And they will help us in our life. Just as hopefully they helped the young fellows and ladies at St. Stephen's Camp who were very enthusiastic. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.